High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright.
Welcome, stockbrokers, bond traders, 29-year-olds pretending to be 17-year-olds, 22-year-old actors pretending to be 29-year-olds pretending to be 17-year-olds, and everything in between. This is High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez. And the slumber party's at my place this evening, whether it be in person or remotely, doesn't matter to me. But first, no matter what, your sophomore year is still in session, and we have some homework to chat about.
This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results.
Before we begin, I want to give a shout out to all the healthcare workers out there who are working hard during these really, really trying times, and everyone in the support system in general. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here in my neighborhood, and I think like around at least the city, at 7 p.m., everyone does a nice clap and a nice cheer for all the healthcare workers, and you could hear it out loud. Like, it's amazing. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. But hope you guys are staying safe out there, and hope you're keeping yourself busy, whether you are actually very busy or you're at home, you know, in quarantine doing nothing. I'm here for you. Listen to this podcast. Hopefully you're entertained. Watch some films. It's good. There's no excuse for not doing your homework these days, that's for sure. Oh, and by the way, if you didn't catch this, obviously you're here on a Friday. Fridays are for fun, again, if you're listening to the Day It Comes Out episode. But we do Mondays now. Yes, we've gone twice a week during this crisis. I have some more free time. That's unexpected. I'm not commuting to work, so that gives me some wiggle room. And also, you know, I feel like it's cathartic for me. It's cathartic for other people, hopefully. I don't do this podcast to get famous, obviously, and I don't do it for money, but of course it's free, remember that. But, you know, it means so much to me for you guys to be listening out there and participating, and, you know, I can't express enough how grateful I am for you guys, the slumberers. But, of course, you had homework. First, the aforementioned Monday episode this week was The Way Back, with Joey Lewandowski, The Godfather, and that's a new movie that was just in the theaters, but you could actually rent it video on demand if you're bored. Watch it, listen to the episode. It was a really fun episode, a really good movie in my opinion. You definitely want to check that out. It was super cool. This week's homework, though, or I should say this Friday's homework, because bi-weekly, Brian, remind yourself, was to watch a film called Hiding Out, which was free for me on Amazon Prime. If you have Prime, watch it, please, because it's an interesting one. It's a fun one. And we have a guest today, one of my favorite guests. You know her from our Twilight series. That's Kate Hudson of Pajiba. She's awesome, and she picked this movie. Actually, she picked this movie on our Drunken New Moon episode. This is one of her, I don't know about favorites, but something of maybe a guilty pleasure. I don't know. Whatever. We're going to get into it. It's an interesting film. It stars John Cryer, and he plays a high school student he's an adult stockbroker who has to go back to high school to hide from the mob. Yep, that's basically it. But before any of that, I have to remind you that you can listen to this show and all other Cage Club Podcast Network shows, not just on the flagship, cageclub.me, that's cageclub.me, but where you're listening right now, whether that be Stitcher, whether that be Google Play, whether that be Apple Podcasts, whether that be Spotify, And while you're on there, why don't you give this show a nice little review? Why don't you give it 5-star rating? Why don't you give us some props here or there? Because guys, like I said, I do this for free. And also, class participation is a huge part of your grade. So if it wasn't any motivation to support me, get your grades up, guys. It's important. Oh, of course, class participation can also be attempted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm really active there. Drop me a DM. Slide into those DMs. I love to chat. Honestly, I do. Whoa. Come on. I know you're being homeschooled, but I brought the bell with me. Oh, one more thing. The best way that you can help High School Slumber Party out is by telling a friend about all the good things that we do here on this podcast and recommending this podcast. Don't do it in person. Social distancing is important. Text them, drop them a line, Zoom them, whatever you're doing these days. Oh, man. So let's get to hiding out, shall we? I leave you with a song from the soundtrack, of course. Catch Me, I'm Falling by a band called Pretty Poison. So put on your favorite jammies, tell your mother you're socially interacting with Brian from at least 6-foot distance, because we're about to get our party on. Class dismissed.
Well, I mean, oh, who knows these days? I was going to say it is like noon your time, but again, who knows these days?
I don't have any wine in the house. I only have rum, and I don't want to get rum drunk because I don't.
You only have rum in the house?
I only have rum and gin right now. And like hard liquor drunk Kate is like, oof, I don't even want to find out who she is right now. Okay. Like, I know who wine drunk Kate is. She's fine.
I have a feeling I might be crying at the end of the podcast. I'm like rum drunk Kate.
I'm not a crier. No, then it's like, we're going to fucking rob a bank. We're going to redistribute wealth. It's
gonna I said, I'm going to cry. You're going to hurt my feelings somehow. That's just going to destroy me. Just your rum superpowers.
Rum drunk Kate is everybody's best friend. Don't worry. There would not be tears. You would walk away feeling really good about yourself.
Okay. So save the rum for when we do the next Twilight film then. Because we're taking a break from our Twilight Forever series to do what I call now, as I had to edit that shit show of a... I mean, it was a beautiful episode in my mind, but it was definitely
so drunk. It's fine. We can admit it.
An alcohol-fueled episode of Twilight 2 Part 2, I guess.
Electric Boogaloo.
I thought there was 5, but I couldn't find the 5th. But I'm calling these the Kate Hudson 4. Movies that you demanded that you be the guest on, essentially.
And I just kept drunkenly slurring about. By the way, I rewatched this. It was not that good, so I apologize.
Oh, no. I hope. Whatever. I mean, I had some issues, but I was enjoying
what
parts
movie,
of it. But...
Wait, what ones did I... I'm going to be honest. I haven't listened to the drunk episode yet because I don't...
Why would you? You were there.
Right? I usually do because I like to talk Twilight. I'm like, oh, these are good points because I have a terrible memory. But what did I drunkenly claim, I guess, is my question.
So the Hudson 4 are Hiding Out, which is what we're doing today. God. The Heavenly Kid.
Yes! Great movie.
Fear with Marky Mark. And I want to be clear. You never said Fear... Just Fear. You always said Fear with Marky Mark, so I'm assuming that's the title.
I reference that movie all the time.
And Adventures in Babysitting, which, yeah. You know, rumor has it that was on the schedule anyway, so you're good about that. But
I mean, that movie.
We'll take care of these because, hey, we've got a lot of time in our hands these days.
Sure do.
Why not? And I want to be honest with you, besides for Adventures in Babysitting, no one has signed up for the other three. So,
wait, someone else signed up for Adventures in Babysitting?
Oh, people love that film. That's a popular one. But you claimed it, so you're on it. And we'll probably bring someone else on as well. We'll probably do a group thing. But that's a big one. The rest of these,
nobody's heard of them.
But that's great. I love talking about movies like these. There seems to be, and I want to talk about it, there seems to be like a genre of film that you really, really like, or like an era, I guess. Like, I can't put my finger on what it is. There certainly is a year set here, but
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you can enlighten me more.
Oh, God. I don't know. Okay, no, I obviously love the classics too, like the John Hughes oeuvre, if you will, but fuck if I know. I grew up in Alaska. It was dark. I watched a lot of movies.
Speaking of Alaska, I don't want to forget this part. Please, I always do with you. Please introduce yourself. Name, high school, team name, Thunderbirds, I know. Something like that. Go for it.
All right. My name is Kate Hudson. I am class of 2002, East Anchorage High School, and we are the T-Birds. And I think I've done this chant before, but it's T-Birds let the dogs out.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so you mentioned Alaska. It wasn't like the last Blockbuster existing in Alaska, so I guess this all makes sense now.
Yeah, and that was my Blockbuster. I know.
Really?
That was my Blockbuster, the one right by the cars on, I think it was Braga, like on the east side of Anchorage. Yeah, that was the one I rented Con Air from for the first time. So that is a special Blockbuster for me.
And the second and the third, and hopefully, I mean, I imagine a lot of times.
That was my go-to movie. Yeah, it still is.
Still is, I was going to say, because almost every time we say, hey, what other movie would you rent today, Kate Hudson?
Scotty.
It's usually Con Air. So
stupid. Oh my God. I'm slap happy. It's fine.
Sober drunk, it's usually Con Air.
So right? It really is. Because it's the greatest movie of all time.
Better than Hiding Out?
I think most movies are better than Hiding Out. But drunk Kate obviously has a mind of her own. She's a gremlin. But sober Kate was watching this last night. And it's like, really? This is a movie you chose to like want to talk about for an hour? Okay.
So the Hudson Four, the movies that four most exemplify your life and personality. This is the first one. Hiding Out. What's your history with Hiding Out? Why did you choose Hiding Out, if you even know?
I actually remember the first time I saw Hiding Out. So I guess I like to see weird, obscure 80s movies because they're usually pretty, like, interesting. Like, The Last American Virgin, where I learned about crabs for the first time. Have you seen that one?
I have not. It's on my list. Maybe that's in the Hudson 8. Who knows? But
who knows? I'm sober, so I'm not going to start demanding. I was living in England and I like was bored and I don't know how, but I came across this movie and I'd never heard of it. And it was like in the prime sort of genre of adults masquerading as high schoolers. Like, you know, because you like there's a few of them. At least there's never been kissed. I'm sure there's
oh,
more.
Yeah, tons.
Right? So I was like, cool, a John Cryer movie. And every time I think of a John Cryer, like 25 years ago, he was on the Conan O'Brien show and he said every single movie or TV show he had been on to up until that point sounded like a gay porno. So Hiding Out kind of does sound like a gay porno.
It's
like,
true.
Cool, right? And like I saw the cover and his hair was so atrocious. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a Kate movie. And it was real, real weird. But I enjoyed it at the time. I think I was sick. So that's my history with Hiding Out.
Oh, man. And look, this was on my list, but it was definitely on my list because when I started this podcast, I Googled like high school movies and just threw stuff on there. I never heard of it. Frankly, I don't know many people who have heard of it,
right.
which is, I guess, a little surprising because as John Cryer, he's in one of the most famous high school films ever as one of the most like memorable characters ever. But we're going to talk about him a lot in this film, obviously, because I got my questions and I was hoping you could answer them.
Okay.
But if you guys aren't familiar with Hiding out there, I looked up what the back of the VHS looks like. By the way, this is free on Amazon Prime if you have it. So
thank God.
unless you're a medical professional or in the support system somehow, you probably have a lot of free time.
Yep.
You know, watch this movie. It'll help you understand this podcast, definitely, because it's going to be weird. Okay, here's the back of the VHS. Andrew Morinsky is a successful stockbroker who finds temporary safety from the mob hitmen after him by stepping 10 years into high school. That's weird. This comedy puts a teenage twist on double identity. In his new life, Andrew, aka Max Hauser, goes punk with a two-tone hairdo. Then he tries to keep a low profile in spite of his cousin, whose greatest challenge is passing his driver's test. Max takes the most obnoxious teacher to task, which quickly makes him a big man on campus. It's a laugh a minute from cafeteria cuisine to dealing with his date's dad. Without even trying to get the girl, he gets elected president.
This is the entire fucking movie.
Yes. Yes, it is. But with a mob hot on his trail, Andrew's problems, other than a few bad grades, hiding out is funny, exciting, suspenseful, and, in my words, creepily romantic.
Okay, so first off, they literally just did 98% of the movie's plot right there.
Because how could you not to describe this film, you know? I guess you could have left it at, Andrew Moreski is a successful stockbroker who temporarily finds safety from the mob hitmen and steps into high school or something like that, you know?
Right?
Like, and that's enough.
Andrew Moreski has a hankering for 17-year-old girls. Where else should he go?
God. Look, I didn't hate this movie. I wasn't, like, bored watching it.
Mm-mm.
But I had my questions. So, you know, just to get into, like, the meat and potatoes before we really dive into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost zero scholarship about this film online. No, like, why, you know, why it was made. I kind of wanted to know.
I mean, why it was the 80s. It was cocaine, for sure.
Cocaine.
It's always coke.
Why cast John Cryer? Maybe that's the same reasoning. But all I know is the director was Bob Giraldi, and his big credit was that he directed Michael Jackson's Beat It video. So that leads me to believe also cocaine, also the 80s, the reason why this film got made.
For sure.
Okay, so we mentioned John Cryer. This is his film. This is very much John Cryer vehicle. Right off the bat, I'm confused because he's 22 when they shot this. Possibly but 21.
But he's playing a 29-year-old.
He's playing a 29-year-old who's pretending to be a 17 or 18-year-old. 29, 19, I guess it's a 10 years. I don't know. Something 17. Like that, right?
He's pretending to be a 17-year-old because remember he says, I haven't gone roller skating in 15 years. She's like, you did it when you were 10.
Oh, that's quick math. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's pretending to be a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
First, okay, so I'm picturing him, like, I'm not picturing 2.5 Men, John Cryer, because rarely am I ever. But theoretically, I'm picturing kind of like the ducky John Cryer. And so it's not that weird for me to see him in high school. So it's not that, like, okay, so you and I did Just One of the Guys, right? And
yep.
It's not a complete transformation like Mrs. Doubtfire in a suit. But it's clearly like, oh, this was a lady and now she's being a dude kind of thing. And it's not that far-fetched to see her as a different person. If I just watched this movie halfway through and not known anything about it, I would just think John Cryer is a regular high school student. I mean, a lot of 22-year-olds play high school students in films. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're leaving out one really important part here.
And what's that?
He had a beard. Okay.
Okay. That's... Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Come on. That's 80s speak for you don't recognize him.
Oh, my God. He's like, first of all, I can't buy John Cryer as the stockbroker, but there he is. With this beard and this full head of hair, trading stocks, and the most adult job you can get in 1987 is like bonds, you know?
This is getting very weird. Jesus Christ, point that thing the other way. What has gotten into you?
It's not safe, Andrew.
Oh.
I just got it off the news wire. They're delaying the trial another 30 days. If we have to wait that long, forget it. We're dead meat.
Come on, what do you think Capados is going to do? He's going to kill us? Come on, he's a businessman. It's just business.
That's what we thought when we took his bullshit bonds. You don't pass off that much in counterfeit paper on your own. I'm telling you, we were chumped. He had us laundering money for the mob.
Bill. Okay, go make some money. You'll feel better, okay? That's what I'm going to do. Now, please, hide that thing before you blow your balls off.
Did you recognize that his little buddy who gets murdered in the beginning?
No, who is he?
Well, I don't know his name, but he always plays the slimy defense attorney in Law and Order SVU. Like,
oh, you're right.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Because you know all the SVU defense attorneys like have the specific clients they serve, and he's always the slimy.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't see that until you mentioned it, and now I just see like his face defending these like gross people. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's always the slimy one, but he's not the corrupt mob guy. That's like the bigger guy.
No, he's not in the movie.
I'm just bringing up my SVU number.
So, bone to pick right there now that we get into it. This guy's name is Rodriguez for some reason, played by Ned Eisenberg. That's my last name.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, Rodriguez, not Eisenberg. I was like, that's...
No, not Eisenberg. No. Which, pretty pissed that I finally get a Rodriguez and he gets, like, killed, but also have a character named Rodriguez and cast Ned Eisenberg. Whatever. It is cool that he was in SVU, now that I'm, like, connecting the face to the name. Other people in this film who I recognized, of course, was Keith Coogan, who...
Yes!
Yes, you know.
I love Keith
Babysitting Coogan. Wizard. He's in a lot of cool high school stuff, which we'll cover. So you're a Coogan fan, then?
I love Keith Coogan because of Adventures in Babysitting. I saw that one in the theaters. I did not see Hiding Out in the theaters.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I mean, again, such a better movie than Adventures in Babysitting.
Right? That's probably
of the
why
Hudson
I watched
4,
it.
It's the gem. Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. But I'm thinking I probably watched Hiding Out. I don't really like John Cryer. I think he's a poor man's Matthew Broderick, and I don't even really like Matthew Broderick. So I'm pretty sure I like sought this one out because of Coogan.
Well, I'm sure if he's listening out there, he'd be, you know, very appreciative. I like him. He plays this great high school character. You know, he's never going to be the jock, but, you know, he plays high school vulnerable kid pretty well.
Yeah.
Other people in this cast who I recognized, Annabeth Gish plays Ryan Campbell. I'm pretty sure I've seen her in things. I couldn't pick it out.
What? Excuse me. Mystic Pizza, Shag, and then X-Files.
Okay, X-Files too. I knew it was something, right? Like, I know it wasn't like, let me not just dismiss this person because she has a familiar face. Okay. And Mystic Pizza, definitely.
I love Mystic Pizza.
Good film.
It's a better
movie
than this. It's so much better than this.
Go watch Mystic Pizza, everyone, but don't stop listening to this episode. Other people I recognize, let's see.
There's the old guy from West Wing that died.
Oh, yeah.
He's the cop who goes to the bathroom and then basically lets everyone else get murdered in the beginning.
Yes.
Who else?
This is one of the only other notes in this film that... John Cryer's mom plays his aunt in this film.
Oh, that makes sense, because she did not look like an actor.
Oh my God. Like, how mean is that? But I thought the same thing.
Well, no, it's just, I just didn't recognize her. Like, she looked, I don't want this to sound mean, but you just called it. She looked normal, but not in a way that she wasn't attractive. She looked normal in a way that, like, she didn't have, like, she just came off more authentic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I wrote, like, this lady looks like a real aunt, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened, but she's the aunt.
That makes sense. And again, not being mean, it's more like she just comes off as an authentic person. Like, she just looks like she wasn't in the Hollywood machine for 30 years. Like, I guess the thing is that she doesn't seem like she was acting. Even good acting, you always are like, oh, that's acting. She looked like a normal aunt and acted like a normal aunt.
Yeah. So good for her. Good for her. Gretchen Cryer. Apparently Joy Behar is in this film.
Joy Behar is?
As Gertrude? I have no idea who that is.
At the beginning, she's the one who tells him that he has to go down to the registrar.
Oh my God. I gotta look that up. Wait, Gertrude.
That has to be her in the beginning. I guess I didn't recognize her because she wasn't sitting down.
Oh, I see a picture of her now. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Because she doesn't even look like how she looks now. Like,
no.
Just, yeah, oh my God.
Because you just see her sitting all the time. I've never, like, I wouldn't. Yeah. What about the, like, the guy who looked like a Kennedy? Was he in anything? Like, the class president that gets elected because the mean lady rigged the election for him?
Tim Quill was his name. I'll find out now.
Probably not, because that name doesn't ring a bell.
He was in the film Hamburger Hill, if you're a fan of Vietnam War films.
I am not, surprisingly.
Nothing, like, that really sticks out to me. Apparently he was in Argo, but I don't know the character Alan Sosa in Argo, so I can't tell you. You know, again, we're not laughing at him. He seems like he's still working every couple of years or whatever.
But... He looks like a Kennedy. Probably doesn't need the money. Oh, no, he's dead, dude. That's why he's not working.
Okay. Good call. Wasn't looking at that. Oh, that's sad. Yes, he died at 54.
That's so young.
Oh, man.
Poor guy. He's very handsome, though. I mean, that probably... is cold comfort now.
It certainly helps in Hollywood, that's for sure, but not anymore.
That sucks. Well, that...
Woo, way to bring everything down, especially in these times.
God.
He was in a film with Kirk Cameron called Listen to Me. I've never seen it, but...
Me. Okay. I don't like Kirk Cameron.
Philosophical reasons or his acting skills or both?
Both, but mainly philosophical, but also I was never that into his show either back in the day.
Fair. I'm not going to argue that right now. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The rest of the people are somewhat unknowns. This is the John Cryer show. This is a John Cryer vehicle. He's the star, for better or worse. All right, let's get into it. What scenes do you want to talk about in Hiding Out? This was, again, your pick, so let's do this.
What I always think about in Hiding Out is how just fucking terrible his hair is. Like, it's atrocious.
Which hair? His stockbroker hair or his punk, in their words, high school hair?
Are you really comparing the, like, just normal, bland, like, I'm a stockbroker hair, to what they did to John Cryer's head as he's hiding out? Like, come on.
What a way to blend in than by having that kind of haircut, right?
It's so bad. It's a reverse skunk streak. It's terrible.
Is there a logic to it? Okay, so, you know, we open and he's a stockbroker, but, you know, his company traded some illegal bonds. As we mentioned, they end up killing one of the other stockbrokers. He doesn't get kidnapped by the FBI, but just, you know, he's under their protection, but they don't do a very good job. And he jumps on a train and heads out of town and
to Delaware.
Ends up in exotic Delaware. In his cousin/aunt's hometown. He originally is going to, like, have his aunt hide him out, but when he realizes that he can, you know, blend in with high schoolers, he decides to just have his cousin be his confidant. Regardless, like, on his way there, he goes to this general store. He shaves, he gets some hair dye, and that's the hairstyle he chooses, apparently. Well, okay, so I was going to ask, was it supposed to be, like, well, there wasn't enough dye or something? Like, why did he only do the sides?
That was a choice.
Okay.
I honestly, whenever I can't come up with any logical explanation, I just, like, oh, it's the 80s. It has to have been cocaine. Like, he must have been coked out. I was like, this is great. This is great. And then, like, go to Delaware. Like, there's so many questions I have. Like, one, why a train? Two, why a train to Delaware? Three, why the skunk hair? Four, why did you have to trade your coat to a guy who was homeless? Like, so many questions.
I love Boston. I'm nothing against the city of Boston. I thought it was an interesting choice to make, like, him a stockbroker in Boston.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't associate that city with stockbrokers.
I agree. Why not New York? Like, why Boston?
Because you're going to Delaware anyway, you know? It's not like, oh, he went to Maine, and that makes sense. Like,
it's much, actually, New York is much closer to Delaware. Like, Boston to Delaware, that's probably what, like a 7-8 hour train ride?
Yeah, I mean, again, just on the random train he jumped on.
Which
is hilarious because, like, he's going slower and the train leaving is somehow also going slower so he can jump on. Like, he's running, and then, oh my God, I can't believe it.
And, like, also, the worst FBI agents in all of history. Let's not leave that part out, too.
It's not like they're supposed to be bumbling fools in this movie.
No.
There are some, like, comedy moments before this, like, that you think they're interrogating him, but he's playing Trivial Pursuit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what to pick at the diner.
And then he orders a double scotch. We're like, oh, because he's 29, of course. Rewatching this last night, I'm like, first off, Kate Hudson, you should probably not be sober. Maybe drunk Kate sees more in this movie than sober Kate does. But, like, two, I think they were relying on cocaine in the audience, too. Just, like, making these massive jumps of, like, logic. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm really high right now. Why not?
I just, like, invent these stories, right? Like, I think that just, like, John Cryer, he wants to not be known as just a kid in high school actor, and he wants, like, to take adult roles, but they won't give them to him, and this is kind of a transitional thing, like, and his agent's like, no, I know you're in high school, but you're really playing 29, and it's just, like, some kind of compromise here, because from the jump, I can't get on board with this. Again, I don't hate this film. It wasn't, like, a miserable watch or anything like that.
No.
Do you think they chose him because it's less weird when he's hitting on 17-year-olds?
Everything about this movie is inexplicable, and I think that's the word to describe it. I honestly don't know why they're like, John Cryer is the one we want. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, who knows? Like, and then they cast his mom, too. So it seems like this has to have been, like, an insider deal, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It has to be the case.
Right? Like, it has to be.
So when he finally makes it to Delaware and creeps out his cousin and just walks into a high school and decides to join it, he, you know, is registering and he decides on the name Maxwell Hauser because, Maxwell House Coffee, very 80s. Yep. This kind of goes back to something we were talking about on Twilight, especially I get this from this podcast, but if you have a choice, not that he has a lot of choices, but if you have a choice, why go to high school if you don't have to?
I don't know. Like, first off, why would you go meet your aunt at her high school where she's the school nurse? Why wouldn't you meet her in the parking? Like, none of it doesn't make sense. Also, okay, I'm a little older than he would be in this movie now. I'm like 5-6 years older, but I couldn't pass for a high schooler 2 years out of out of high school. There's something changes you in those times. Like, you can't.
No, absolutely. Right? Like, this is going to come off as weird, but I think you'll know what I'm saying. Like, obviously, you know, when we were in high school, the hormones were kicking and we thought certain people were attractive. But almost as soon as, like, you're 2 years in college and you look back, you're like, oh my God, those people look like children.
Exactly. You know?
Then that happens. So, like, now it's like, or like around our age now, like, you'd be, there's no way. There's no way. But again, I guess that's why they cast John Cryer, because he was only 22.
Yes. I would rather poke hot needles through my eyes or let the mob kill me than go back to high school at this point. And I had a good time in high school.
You did. You did, as noted in previous episodes. And again, if you're going to go back, and I know, you know, he makes an attempt at laying low, but you're going to probably lay low. You're not going to go on dates with 17-year-olds.
Oh, and then give their dads tax advice. And then that's scene is just like, really, dad? Like, dad, are you this disconnected you don't know a fucking 30-year-old when you see one? Like, come on.
It's like, you were in Vietnam and I get that and thank you for serving our country, but like, yeah. Like, how do you not realize that this dude I wouldn't be like, oh, thank you, son, for helping me with my taxes. I'd be like, red flag here. How does he know this? And he's taking my daughter out.
And he asked for, like, a scotch and soda. You can't even joke about that, like, to someone's dad. And also, didn't she have a boyfriend? Like, they never broke up. We never saw a breakup scene between those two.
So we see this a lot in high school films. This is, like, a big trope. Like, new kid comes to town. There's a girl that he likes, she likes him, but she's always dating the popular jock, and she seems to never break up with him, and we're supposed to be okay with that. This is amplified, though, by the fact that the new kid in town is a 29-year-old. I know she doesn't know that, but he knows that.
Yeah, there's just a lot of questions I have. And, like, the thing about this movie, like, our high school jock asshole really isn't that bad. He actually has integrity. He never tries to pick a fight with someone he honestly should because he's a 30-year-old man trying to date his girlfriend. But, like, he takes it all in stride. And then, like, in theory, she dumps him for John Cryer. And he's still like, you know what? This nasty Republican teacher rigged the election. Here you go, John Cryer.
How about that? Like, we don't have to go linearly. But first with the whole element of he's in this school and he's trying to lay low. But one of the first things that happens to him is that he's put in this class and the teacher chastises one of the papers because paper apparently dissed Richard Nixon. And she's not cool with that. And John Cryer, who apparently lived through the Nixon era, that's how old he is in this film. And I guess that's true, right? He wasn't, like, voting in the Nixon era.
He would have almost been close, because if he were, like, turned 30 in 87, that means he was born in 1957 in the movie.
So, yeah, I guess he's, like, borderline, right? Like, let's say he was at least active in high school and in politics and stuff, or just concerned. So he's not a fan of Richard Nixon. Not a lot of people are. But he's not a fan of Nixon. And he stands up for whoever wrote this paper. And the teacher is upset. And this is where her conspiracy begins. But the paper turns out to be of the girl he ends up dating. And her name is Ryan.
Yeah, which was a weird choice.
Yes. And she's super like, oh, this guy defended me in class. I want to get to know him more. And I honestly think it would have... We don't want to rewrite movies here. I don't like doing that. But I think it would have been a stronger choice if, almost like Back to the Future style, I know that's his mom, but she's attracted to him, but he knows he can't do anything because he's older. So maybe he pivots to Keith Coogan, you know? That would have been, to me, more acceptable.
But if he hadn't been like, feats, don't fail me now, as he rushed towards statutory rape, yeah.
And then, okay, so I'm glad you bring that up, too. We'll talk about the teacher and the election a little bit later, but just want to go over the stuff with Ryan. they have these dates and they have these nice moments. And he's like, oh my God, I'm really connecting. Like, red flag, red flag, red flag. There is a point where Keith Coogan says to him, like, have you heard of statutory rape? And then sometimes I watch these older films in the 70s and 80s, and they're like, they have these gross, like, older guys dating like 18 or 19 year olds, and like, that's a joke in the movie, or that's like a thing, or it's like considered hot to date a teenager. And not that I'm like okay with it, but it's more like, all right, this is dated. This was more the comedy of the time. But here they're very clearly stating that statutory rape is a thing in this universe and that he's treading those waters. And that doesn't seem to bother him.
He just waves his hand off and then he's like, I love her. It's like, how the fuck do you love her? This has been like weeks.
You would think a 29-year-old would get that.
It is psycho. It is psycho.
And this is not a 29-year-old, like, still living with his parents, kind of just doing, no offense to you guys living with your parents out there, that's not what I mean. But, you know, like, someone who's not, like, out and about with their own apartment, like, dating people, presumably, because I think there's some, like, small conversation about, like, ladies in the beginning of the film. So it just boggles my mind why he would think that this high schooler who he just met is the quote-unquote one, and he needs to continue to go on dates with her and pursue it. And I know he's backing off at certain points, you know. They have their cool, like, roller derby date.
I could smile.
Hey. Would you believe I haven't been on skates in 15 years?
Yeah, I believe it. Wait, that means the last time you skated, you were two?
I wasn't even very good then.
Try bending your knees. It'll help.
So, you come here often with Kevin?
Hardly ever. He's very concerned about being cool.
Wait a minute. You mean this isn't cool? I'm out of here.
Get back here. Where are you from? Do you have a girlfriend?
As a matter of fact, I do. Well, I did. We were together for 3 years. We came this close to getting married.
Really?
Yeah, she was my skating instructor. You can see why we broke up.
Bags.
And they're, I guess, having fun, and they're about to kiss in the car, and he kind of backs off, and she kisses him anyway. But I get a sense that the filmmakers want us to see this moment as cute, not like
creepy.
Oh my God, yeah, creepy. Like, back off. Like,
it's inexplicable. That's the only word I can use to describe it. It's like, why? That's all I can say. Why?
I mean, I know the answer to what I'm about to say is cocaine, but
definitely cocaine.
What possesses somebody, like a screenwriter in 1985, presumably 1986, to sit at their typewriter and be like, well, he's going to go back to high school and he's going to fall in love with a teenager. They're not picturing John Cryer either. They're just writing it that a 29-year-old is doing this. And it's just, ooh.
I just think about this, like, if the genders were reversed, it would be, like, would it be more socially acceptable if a 29-year-old woman went after a 17-year-old, like, teenager? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it would be more, oh, right. Like, this teenager got the hot older person. So maybe. I'm not saying it's good.
And by the way, Annabeth Gish was born in 1971. And this movie was, let's say, like, she was like 15 or 16 when it was released, basically.
Oh, my God. What choices. Jeez.
Like, every single way they could have, like, made this better. Like, why couldn't it have been college? Like, there's so many questions.
That's a really good point. What difference does it make? Except, like, you don't get, like, Keith Coogan taking his driver's test stuff in college, but you could have done something. I don't know.
The story is what it is, but the person who wrote it had many opportunities to not make it as creepy.
And that's why arguably John Cryer is a less creepy choice. You know, so many men who are like 40 play like 29-year-olds in films. Could you imagine if they chose like a 40-year-old?
Yeah, but also, like, no offense to John Cryer, if it was Tom Cruise doing this, would people would it be as creepy, or be like, yeah, get that Tom Cruise girl?
It's like, true.
It's just a lot of weird choices, I guess, is my point.
Well, I just want to remind you once again that ultimately the choice to be on this film and put it in the Hudson 4 was yours.
And No, no, no. It was drunk Kate Hudson, and she is her own person.
I should put that like, guest drunk Kate Hudson was on this episode. No, no, no. That was regular Kate Hudson on this one.
Yeah, like, this is the one who was like, why do I like this movie so much? And then I watched it again last night. And I was like, I've seen this 3 times, which is 2 times too many.
Oh, man. So we'll get into the ending a little bit later, but just to tie in there. Well, I was going to say just to add more to their story arc, but there isn't really much until the end.
You already read the back of the VHS. They already know the entire plot.
I ruined this episode, yeah.
It's like everyone's got the plot. I mean, okay, so the interesting thing about Hiding Out is that they have a lot of 80s movie tropes, but then they don't have a lot of 80s movie tropes. Like, Ryan has this hot, bitchy friend who's popular, and, like, you automatically think, oh, okay, cool, the cousins are going to, like, tag team date this, right? Like, he's going to set her up with a hot, popular girl, and then we never see the hot, popular girl again, and then Keith Coogan is dating somebody, like, more at his social level. There's just a lot of weird choices. Like, it does zig when you think it's going to zag.
Yeah, and not in, like, a, oh, that was a brave choice kind of way.
It's like, oh, so, like, both, like, 2 people on cocaine came up with this decision and flipped it like it flipped a coin.
I mean, let's talk Keith Coogan, right? I mean, again, I do like him. I even like his performance here. He's just kind of a nerd. He's, you know, I like his whole, like, bedroom setup upstairs and the dynamic with his mom. You know, not as successful with the ladies, even when, again, this is where I thought it was going to change, or I thought, like, John Cryer was going to pivot to Keith Coogan. But when the 2 girls, as you said, go up to him at the table, Keith Coogan eventually just walks away.
I love Keith Coogan. I love Keith Coogan. That's all I can say.
You feel like he's not acting, and not in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? You feel like he's just, like, existing in these universes as himself, and I love it. His big thing is he needs to drive. He wants to pass his driving test so he can take girls out on dates and do all those things. And I'm exactly with you. When he said, oh, I finally got a date and I'm going to get my permit this weekend, I thought we were going to see the popular girl. She'd somehow agree to him. But no, it was this, like,
rando?
I mean, rando nerdy girl. I'm not saying I didn't like her. I kind of liked her. She seemed fun.
She just came out of nowhere. You're like, oh, we don't know this person at all. Cool. Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So this was one of my questions to you as someone else, sober, as you said, observing this film. Mm-hmm. He goes on this date with this girl. They see a movie. She's not into it. She clearly, you know, wants it. He wants it. He asks her to take off her glasses.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, so she can't see what a bad driver he is.
Okay, okay. That's what I thought. The sinister person in me was like, oh, so I could take advantage of her. And I was hoping that wasn't the case because I like Keith Coogan.
No, but no. Because he's a terrible driver. And he didn't know how to drive stick. So he's like, oh, you can't see three inches beyond? Awesome. And that's why he hit her glasses. It wasn't... That's how I read it.
I was hoping it was that, but I was afraid, like, maybe this is something else. Because she wants to go to her house, but they end up, like, hooking up in the car. And I'm assuming that's just because he can't drive to her house.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. That makes me feel better about his character. I thought he suddenly got, like, creepy or something.
I mean, maybe, but also comparatively speaking to his creepy cousin Maxwell Hauser, it would be very hard for him to reach a level that we would deem creepy in this movie.
Okay, good, though. Like, I mean, that's fine, because like, I want to root for this guy. That's Keith Coogan, not Maxwell Hauser. But I want to root for this guy. I want him to, you know, find success in dating, just like this girl, too. And it also doesn't seem like too lovey-dovey. It seems pretty casual, and I like that. Because, again, it always creeps me out in high school movies when people say they're going to live forever together because it's high school.
Right.
I'm happy where we land on all the Keith Coogan stuff, then. I think we can settle on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Keith Coogan ever really plays, like, a bad... I can't think of a Keith Coogan role where he is, like, a creepy loser. Can you?
No, off the top of my head, no. But I haven't seen some of these movies in so long. I don't know if it's going to turn out like Anthony Michael Hall in 16 Candles, like, stealing underwear and...
Ugh.
And, you know, taking advantage of people when they're passed out. You know, like, I was just worried because I don't want to see that.
I think, I mean, he was in that Cheetah movie with Disney. I feel like they wouldn't hire some creeper, right?
I forgot about that. Too bad that's not a high school film. That might be on the next Kate Hudson list. Who knows?
I love him so much. I am a fan of Keith Coogan, honestly, because of Adventures in Babysitting and then Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter. Basically, his babysitting movies are the best. I lost my goddamn mind when he shared Dustin's Pajiba review of Kevin Smith. I'm like, Keith Coogan knows about us? That's awesome. Like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, really?
Him. Yeah.
He did. That's awesome.
And then he That's liked awesome. My Adventures in Babysitting post on Twitter. I was like, fuck, I am a fan. I don't give a shit about celebrities who read that site, except for like very specific ones. If they're odd as shit, it would be like Richard Simmons, Mariska Hargitay, and Keith Coogan. Fuck yeah, I will.
Oh, sweet.
I would dork out over them.
I know you love Adventures in Babysitting, but
I love it.
Did you write the Adventures in Babysitting article to bait Keith Coogan into liking it?
No. So I have this theory. I have this theory that your favorite movie is not the one you say it's your favorite. It's the one you actually end up watching the most. And up until this year, the movies I watched the most were Con Air, Adventures in Babysitting, and Working Girl.
Ooh, I love Working Girl.
Oh, I love Working Girl. But due to the shutdown, and honestly because of you, I have watched so much Twilight. I've just been like, yeah, I've just been watching a lot of Twilight. It's how I'm coping. It's just watching a girl try to bone a vampire on infinite loop during like all this uncertainty. And it's really helping.
Well, I hope when we get to Eclipse, you'll be very, very prepared.
Oh, I've been listening to Twilight on audiobooks as well. I'm so ready.
The other things that happen in this movie, again, I explained it all with the back of the VHS. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but
spoilers.
There's that whole crew. Well, there's that like rapper kid and his beatbox friend.
Was that, by the way? That honestly, like, it seemed like a white person's approximation of how black people talk.
Oh my God, yes. You know, like, sometimes you hear things and you're like, okay, a man wrote this, or whatever. This is even the opposite. Even like a woman wrote this dialogue for a guy. Like, and again, whatever. Like, people could write for whoever they want. I don't care. But absolutely right. I wrote that down too. This is what a white man in 1987 thinks a black high school student talks like.
It was bad. Like, bless that actor. Like, he did a good job with it. Like, his charisma and, like, his cockiness and, like, because that was a character. It came through, but you have to know, like, those lines were atrocious. So, like, respect to him that he was able to find a way to make it work despite it just being horrendous.
I'm sure you remember the early 90s when like mainstream culture, or maybe mid 90s, like mainstream culture started to accept that rap was cool. So you'd see it thrown in almost everything as like, that's what's acceptable. That's what the kids are doing today. And it's so cringeworthy.
Yep.
This is like the start of it almost. I know this is not the 90s yet, but it just reminded me of being a kid. And just, I remember just being a child and watching something. Oh my God, they put a rap song in this. What the hell?
I think 1987 is actually the kickoff point of that. Because remember, 1987 like brought us the classic rap song, Top That from Teen Witch.
Oh, good call. Something we've covered here. Absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head with that. Top yeah. That is the classic example of like, see kids, rap is cool. This is what we're doing now. Hip hop. Like,
it's so cringe. Ugh. But yeah, I mean, this has to have been like the tipping point when like everyone's coked out uncle in Hollywood was like, we're gonna put rap in this, we're gonna open this like shit up to more people finally. Like, it was, I don't know how to talk about this like in a way that is sensitive, but this movie did have a habit of putting black men specifically in supporting roles to prop up our white protagonist.
Yep.
And like, it's watching it in 2020, you're like, oh yikes, this is not good.
And my favorite part is thinking of, again, this screenwriter on cocaine on a typewriter thinking like, oh, you know, let me be progressive, let me put some black characters in here, this is what they talk like, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
because then the other only other black character, I think, is he the janitor who into school basically to get drunk and hang out, and then he finds John Cryer.
Yeah, so I mean, we could talk about him now. He's an ex-boxer, he's a janitor. John Cryer's been staying there for seems like a while, but then he decides to reveal himself like weeks into the process.
And well, because like, hey, he's revealing himself because that dummy is like, apparently, like, I think he's drinking, like getting on the fucking loudspeaker at night, like
testing. calling all cars, be on the lookout for a white male Caucasian, age unknown. This is President Maxwell, coming to you live from the Oval Office. And I don't have a pass. Teachers, where are your passes? Where are your passes? Teachers, I want to see some changes around here. Now, class, way too long. Come on, you can sort out the major points in 15 minutes. Be real. Out goes the dress code.
What are you doing sneaking around in here?
Well, you're the janitor.
Custodial engineer, Ezra Williams. And you a Mad Max. I've seen you in here every night for weeks, boy. This is a high school. Not a Holiday Inn.
Tell me about it. Whoa, Ezard, got any more of that stuff?
Oh, hell, come on. I ain't supposed to be in here either. Getting pretty good on these things, boy.
Schools aren't in the middle of nowhere. If people hear announcements coming from the school, they're gonna invest. Like, it's, yes, that part drove me crazy. Like, if you're hiding out, why don't you fucking lay low?
And let's be honest, it's not like this movie is an hour and 20 minutes long. It's almost 2 hours long, I think. It's like an hour 40 something.
Yeah,
why do we need this?
Because we need this because the janitor is the one who helps him at the end in the final shootout.
We don't need that. Yeah. Okay. So when we'll talk about the final shootout a little bit later, but when we do get to this final shootout, he uses his boxing skills to help him out at one point. And you're like, oh, that's why we learned that he was an ex-boxer. Thank you.
I mean, there is another option here where it seems like they were keeping this all in the family. So maybe that actor was just a friend of a friend. And they're like, he's cool. Let's hang out with him. Put him in the movie. Like,
I mean, he seemed like a cool guy. Like, I'm not dissing his performance at all. It's just like,
yeah, the role itself was very just like, really, do we really have to put all black characters just to prop up our white protagonists in this movie? Like,
in a 2020 lens, if I said, hey, so I'm writing a screenplay, it has a black janitor who's a drunk, but he's really wise beyond his years, you know, like, even though he's old.
They would just go, yikes. Like, it's yikes. It's, yeah. But if you were pitching this movie, they'd be like, okay, cool. So he's 29 and wants to bang a 17-year-old? Awesome. Let's make, like, no, there's so many red flags now. They're like, and okay, so there's something else that we haven't, like, not to get totally off track, but so I went to high school from 99 to 2002. And by then, smoking was forbidden. But
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, right. But in 80s movies, like, it's, and like 1999 was only 12 years removed from when this took place. They were like just openly smoking. And like that was a big deal. Like you were not allowed to smoke anywhere on campus and they really actually enforced that. But in this movie, like everyone's just hanging out on the steps smoking. Like when did that change?
Presumably before 1999 or whatever. It was jarring. I mean, I know the teachers are trying to stop it, but it's not like something where anyone's trying to hide it either.
No, they're just out there smoking.
In my school, people have to like leave campus, go to the back gate or whatever and smoke. Also, I don't know if I'm, again, I wouldn't be in this position, but if I'm 29 and I'm going back to school, I'm not like just lighting it up in front of the kids like that. Like, I don't know. There's just something weird about that.
I don't know how to put my finger on it. And it's like once you're out of high school, all the shit that consumes you in high school is exhausting outside of the bubble. So why would you willingly go back to that and it, like just get immersed in that again, even if the mob wants to kill you?
So quickly, too. Again, this is something where we've seen this movie a million times, right? Like someone not hiding out necessarily, but someone, you know, at a place in high school, and they're usually trying to lay low, and it's usually something that inspires them to kind of conform more to whatever the practices of the new place is. And John Cryer right away is just, again, I know he doesn't want to run for president, but that's the only thing that he's a little bit reluctant about. Otherwise, he's going to class, he's speaking up in class, he's lighting cigarettes, he's going on dates, he's talking to people, he's making friends, you know? It's just odd.
Well, so they kind of cover why he's embracing school so much again. Like, in a throwaway, exchange with Keith Coogan, where he's basically like, I wanted to be a teacher. And so...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think that's how they justify it. And I think even though they don't say it at the end when he magically appears at the college that Annabeth Gish goes to, I always read that he's going back to become a teacher because he really...
I think they do mention it. I think, whatever he's taking is, something that would lead you to believe it's education.
Also, now that you know that this creeper embraced high school and wants to go back to education, you kind of, think, oh, he's going to be that teacher that tries to, that abuses his, female students and eventually you see them on the news.
Absolutely. Would you want to know that your child's teacher did something like that and acted like that? No. The cool teacher, not always, because there's some cool teachers out there, so I don't want to diss you guys, but there's some teachers I had who I thought were super cool. And now I look back, I'm not saying they did anything legally inappropriate, but it does seem weird that they were that curious about my life outside of school. And some teachers who are like, oh, what a nerd. She won't tell us where she lives, at the time. Now I'm like, yeah, why should she tell teenagers where she lives?
No, that's thinking, good boundaries. That's excellent boundaries. So we used to hang out at our teachers' houses in high school, but...
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
Tell me about this. This is more interesting than hiding out.
Well, okay, so... The cool teacher was, people hung out with him before this, but we at least had an excuse, is that his daughter was a student with us. So we'd come hang out at their house by proxy. People always hung out with him, but our excuse was that his daughter was in our cohort. So we'd go hang out with them at their house. He was just a cool dude. I went to a weird alternative program though, where teachers and students were more I don't know. We used to hang out at our teacher's house. We'd come by sometimes, just pop by, and they'd let us. It sounds weird talking about it, though.
Exactly.
Feel better.
Exactly.
I mean, not all of them, just some of them. But yeah, I don't know how to make it so it doesn't seem creepy. It wasn't creepy. It was never one-on-one. It was always in groups. And we went to this alternative high school where that sort of I don't want to say lack of boundaries, but that sort of relationship with our teachers, so it's not so authoritarian and it's more cool man, was there allowed? I don't know. Like I said, it never seemed weird to me until I'm talking about it right now and you don't have any questions and you're not jumping in to be like, oh no, that makes sense. You're just sort of
I mean, there's nothing I could really, that's kind of my point though. When I look back again, I didn't have as much of a relationship with my teachers where I was going over their homes all the time and making Pop-Tarts with them and such. But I know those situations where, if I explained it now, after improv, our improv coach invited us all over to hang out at his place. That sounds weird. At the time, it wasn't.
Yeah, but is that because we're just old and outside of that environment now? So,
we read more
into it than we do, or is it because the times have changed?
I think there's an element of that as well. I think that probably even going further back, it happened more often, but I'm not trying to trivialize this kind of stuff, but there were people who ruined it for everyone, essentially.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't happen as often. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. My mind's kind of blown right now that, you know how, once you're in a bubble, everything's normal, and then you go outside the bubble and you share what happened in the bubble, and it's like, no, that's weird. I'm getting that right now.
Well, I'll put it this way. If I was a teacher today, I'm not sure for legal reasons I would have kids over my house, because you just never know, you know? Just never know what could happen.
Yeah, we were always in packs. It was never one-on-one. There was always, a group. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed normal at the time. We had potluck sometimes with our after school activities at their houses. We had one teacher in particular, whereas basically we could come over anytime and just hang out.
In groups.
Yeah, and it wasn't it was the place where we'd get booze or they'd supply us with drugs. I feel the need to point that out. It was just we'd just go hang out, maybe watch a weird movie or get some weird tea. Well,
what kind of weird movies?
Oh, weird movies. Some random ass French New Wave movie that was never properly released. It wasn't It was. I know where you're going with this. It wasn't like sexually explicit movies like grooming. And like when I say we give weird tea, like I'm not using slang. Like literally, like loose leaf, weird exotic blends of tea. Like where
no,
we
no,
go.
I know, but like out of context, everything you're saying.
No, just... this is it's.
What we'd watch like French New Wave films and he'd make us weird tea. I don't remember much else. Like, yeah, no.
We just went to like it's like we went to a hippy dippy alternative program in a larger high school where our class sizes were like maybe 20, 25 kids at most. Like for 4 years, we had the same set of teachers for all 4 years.
I love to, just for context, if you've listened to all the Kate Hudson episodes out there, that you went to this hippy dippy alternative high school where, you know, things were lax, and you still game the system to essentially not go to school your senior year. Like,
yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Oh, well, here's the missing component. I know you have like two listeners who live in Anchorage, and they're like, East High isn't.
So.
They're like, East High isn't hippy dippy. I went to the special program within East High. It was called School Within a School. Now you know everything about me. But that's the missing component, right? Because we were cool with our teachers. They helped me gain the system. That's how I had my first period from, you know, sophomore and junior year was always independent study where I would just watch movies.
Okay.
It's like, it's starting to paint the whole picture. But
and that's why we're here.
Surely someone else out there had this with our teacher.
I'm sure. Again, we're just being silly because we could also continue talking about hiding out. So we
exactly.
So again, hiding out. What else? Oh, we don't have the whole student government element here. John Cryer doesn't want to run against O'Rourke. His name is.
Wait, can we bring that up for a second? Because it sounded like senior year was winding down, right? This didn't feel like it was in the beginning of the year. So how does that work that they're in their senior year? He's got nominated for class president, and then cut to like 5 months later, they're at college and he's in the witness protection program. Like that timing's weird.
Yeah. Okay. I had that question as well. I don't know when your school elections were. Mine were at the end of the year for the next year because that, you know, that kind of made sense. I know some classes, some people who do it at the beginning of the year for the rest of the year, but it was weird to have him at the end of the year for the next year. But I'm assuming he was a senior, right? Like there was a lot of confusion when it comes to that. Certainly O'Rourke was a senior, right?
I hope so. There's I mean, who the hell knows? it doesn't make sense.
I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's just to show, I mean, just to set up a big scene and just to show that, wow, they actually do like him in this school.
Let's talk about the fake news teacher.
The fake news teacher. Oh, yes.
She blew my mind because I don't know why. Maybe because I wasn't really paying attention until like 2000 when Bush stole the election. But I didn't realize that these bullshit conservative fake news assholes have been around this long.
It's always funny, you know, whatever side of the aisle you happen to be on. I'm trying to be fair. But that... You watch these movies and you realize, oh, we've been fighting these same battles for like forever. It's not just like a new thing, like, oh, the country's so polarized. And trust me, it is, but it's rarely not.
It's been like that forever. Yeah. It really. Well, and the thing is, it's like, I guess, I mean, if you believe in fake news, then I'm okay with you hating me. But it's just the right wing conservative hold in this country has been here much longer than I realized because I didn't pay attention when I was a kid. Like I said, I didn't pay attention until it became our president in 2000, you know? Well, I grew up in a red state. Like Alaska is hardcore Republican. It's actually more libertarian, but so I know the difference between somebody who just wants to keep their money and have the government stay out of it. Like, trust me, I do, because Alaskans are very like like that. But there's a difference. Right. And I just have never really paid attention to that until, you know, I became an adult. But to see that in a movie in 1987, where somebody is basically screaming about fake news and how Nixon was set up when ostensibly he wasn't, like he was.
No. And while I do agree with everything you're saying, I also feel like the Nixon choice was kind of like an easy choice. It's not like she was talking about like economics and John Cryer was like, wait a minute, that's not how it works. The corporations are just going to get all the money if that's the case. You know what? There wasn't like anything in depth, especially at this time. Like people like this lady, sure. But I think most people watching this movie were not defending Richard Nixon.
But this lady wasn't. Didn't it feel really prescient? Because now there are people who are like when Nazis are marching in the street, some dummies are talking about fine people on both sides. Like she was played to show that she was specifically just a horrible person. And like, how could you believe this? But now, like the way our country is now, she felt really current to me.
Yeah, I mean, that aspect of it, for sure. And she ends up rigging the election in favor of O'Rourke, which is amazing that she cares this much about a student council election. It's implied here that the student council actually has, like, real power within the school, like that they could set the curriculum or something.
I don't remember what our student council did in high school. Do you?
Pick the theme of the dance, things like that, you know, like... Where really it was just like some teacher who was actually the head of it. Like, so we could do the dance at this venue or this venue, but this venue is giving us the better deal. Yeah, let's do that. Like, it's just, you know, it's like soft power. It's an exercise in how democracy theoretically should work. But it's there's no real power in a student council. It's not like they bring up things to the principal and say, like, this needs to be changed. Like, people need to... can't take this class anymore. Like, that doesn't really happen, at least I don't think. So it's just so odd that this teacher is so, I mean, I guess that's just how she thinks, is so gung-ho on destroying everything that the apparent Nixon hater John Cryer like wants and gains in student government.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, ugh. I don't know. I just don't know if I've been out of the game for so long. I wish I could remember what we did. And I don't remember caring. I couldn't even. I think my friend was student body president. I think senior year. And I think she was prom queen too, but I can't remember.
My sophomore year, I was in my sophomore class government. And that was only because my good friend wanted to be president. And I was like, I'll run your campaign, and just because it was fun. It was something to do. And I did it. And I remember like the sign up day for who was going to run. And someone running for this position called publicity chair, which was just, I don't know what the equivalent would be. I guess press secretary, but there's no press. Just like the person who like put up flyers and stuff.
Yeah. No, we had a publicity chair.
Okay.
I think we had that too, where it's like they were in charge of like pep rally, like notifications, I think.
Yeah. Like, letting people know of things. And it was running, this sounds so bad right now and I hate saying this, but the person running was running unopposed, and he was not the brightest kid in the world and kind of like a social outcast. And not that I was popular. I wasn't popular. I was definitely a little shit. Like, I got in people's, I said stupid things to people on purpose to be funny.
So you're an edgelord.
Fair. But I'm not to that level. But this kid, I was like, hey, if I run against him, there's no way people will vote for him over me.
You didn't.
And
oh,
I did.
You asshole.
I didn't say I was proud of it. And I won.
You trumped him. You literally trumped him. You were the Donald Trump to his Hillary Clinton.
Oh, man. When you put it that way, now I feel really bad. But Yeah, I guess that's what I did. And so I only served for a year because I really pissed off a lot of quote-unquote popular kids by winning that position. Not that anyone cared, but it was like, oh, that guy could do it? So I could too. And the next year, like, all the coolest, most popular kids in school ran for these positions. And I was like, I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to bother running. I didn't even want to run in the first place. I just knew I could, you know? And that's my brief affiliation in student government. But I feel like I got the word out that got people more active because they saw me and they're like, what's that shit doing representing us? We need better leadership. And they did. So good.
Okay. So you talking about this just reminded me, I was actually in student government.
Oh my God.
And I forgot. I was on the student advisory board all 3 years I was in high school.
And what'd you guys
do? I don't remember. It's so non-memorable that I couldn't even remember I was in it until you were talking about it. I was like, oh shit, I was in that too. I think maybe, I don't even think we did prom themes.
Oh boy.
I don't remember. It was honestly just an excuse for like the popular kids in our hippy dippy high school program to get together and like be exclusive. I don't remember.
So like true government. I love it. That was nice. And you didn't even know what you did.
Yeah. Like, and I like how I just casually said I was a popular kid too. So like, I'm just winning all kinds of personality awards with this episode.
There's nothing wrong with being a popular kid. There's nothing wrong with that. I assumed that. You had so much power in your school. You hung out with the teachers and had special teas. I assumed you were the popular kid.
But popular in an alternative high school is not like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's, I don't think that's any, we were like, we, I don't know. I think when you go to a smaller, like little insular, like high school, like I did, it's like, you know, I don't know.
Wow, we're both looking bad today. That's fair to say.
Right? I just like, it's just super uncool to call yourself popular in high school. So,
especially these days, right? But I feel like in the 80s, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Well, maybe.
Excuse me, the 90s and early 2000s for me.
No, not you. I'm saying like the time of hiding out, like being popular was what everyone wanted, right?
Well, the thing is like, back then, like, the popular kids weren't told, well, you're going to regret being mean to the nerd one day. You know what I mean?
True.
It was kind of in, like, it was in Adventures and Baby, not Adventures and Babysitting, Peggy Sue Got Married, which was only a year before this. But, like, that message started to creep in. But when you and I were in high school in the 90s, like, 2000s, it was like, oh, the nerds are going to inherit the earth. And, like, that actually doesn't happen. I've read the studies. They're like, actually, popular people in high school tend to be popular and, like, successful later in life as well.
Sad, but true. But, you know, you're very popular in High School Slumber Party, too. I feel like I'm popular because it's my show. So we're the popular kids today.
Anybody who bothered to listen to a podcast about a movie they like probably haven't seen is also popular.
Yes, yes. This is not a very popular film. That's fair to say. Now, this big ending with the election, right? O'Rourke says he wants a recount despite winning because he knows it was rigged. And they kind of just do like a, you know, like at a bar.
A shrug?
Yeah, like, yeah. Who voted for me? Who voted for John Cryer? You know, all raise their hand. Maxwell, whatever. And then, yes. And then a sniper appears. If you guys out there forgot that this movie is about like the mafia hunting someone down, it is. And there's a big scene here. A fight. The janitor, again, is boxing people off and... I'm not going to lie, and I know this maybe wasn't on the forefront of America's mind at the time, and I know it wasn't a student, still get a little uncomfortable seeing a gun like that in a high school shooting kids.
Oh, God, yeah. For sure. I mean, it wasn't on, like you said, it wasn't on anyone's mind then, because that would be 10 years later, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, ooh, even, again, I know it's not a kid doing it, but they would never put this in a movie today. Unless it was like some fucked up movie, like We Need to Talk About Kevin or something, like not a comedy.
Yeah, no. I don't think that Hiding Out is ever going to get remade.
Well, I feel like it has a million times, but just not this style. There's, you know, this is such a trope, like pretending to be someone I'm not in high school, but it's usually like my body switched with my mom. It's not like
exactly
this.
I don't think, yeah, this particular combination of a coked up, like, stocks and bonds trader goes and lives in a high school, like, tries to date a 17-year-old, and then there's a shootout at his school at the end. I'm pretty sure that's never going to get made again, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
I mean, so do you think he and Ryan made it all the way? Because I was thinking at the end when they're like, oh, you're in the school too. That, like, there's no way they make it past, like, 2 months. And then he's stuck in witness protection in fucking, like, Iowa forever.
So, okay. The conflict's resolved, right? Like, he ends up testifying against these people. And, as you said, goes to witness protection in Iowa. And the big reveal is that she said she already got into Iowa.
Okay. Sorry, not to interrupt, but she already got into Iowa. So they probably held these elections, like, for the last half of senior year. Like, the timeline doesn't make sense.
No, the timeline does not make sense, but...
Okay, sorry, I had to interject.
No, everything. No, no. I am 100% in agreement. with that. And when he shows up in Iowa, like, he, first of all, witness protection, they would probably advise you, hey, why are you going to Iowa? Oh, someone you know is going there? You can't go there.
But exactly!
But theoretically, let's say they let him go there and he...
Because they hate him, because they want this, like, creeper to die.
And he, yeah, and he shows up at this college and he says some of the creepiest things in this entire movie, and that's a big deal. He's like, hi, so I've been enrolled here for a while. I just didn't know how to say hi to you.
He's just like, ugh, yes, it's creepy.
Do you think his cover is younger than he is? Like, I know that doesn't justify it, but I want to know if they, like, witness protection could fuck with your age a bit. I'm sure they can.
I don't know. But I'm sure they made him younger. Like, I don't know.
But the answer to your question is, do they make it? I mean, I sure hope not.
can we also point out that his goodbye to the woman who raised him since his parents died at a very early death was like 30 seconds? Like, see you around, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
I gotta go somewhere. You won't be seeing me.
She's like,
me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. She's like, you do you. Thanks for being a good grandson. Bye.
Why do they even have that in here? Like,
who knows?
Probably, like, John Cryer's, like, grandma.
Probably. And then we don't ever see his nurse aunt mom and Keith Coogan again, I don't think.
No, well, we do see, like, he gives Keith Coogan his Maserati on graduation day.
Oh, that's right.
And that's, I mean, good for him. He's got a Maserati now, so yeah.
and he lost his creeper uncle, which is even better, really, because he can't go back and see him.
Yeah, I mean, and then again, like you said, he ends up at school. I mean, at Iowa, you know, University of Iowa, and it's like, oh, it's implied we're gonna date now. Like, this is great. I guess she's legal now, technically, but it's still weird.
It's
I want her to be in college and date around and figure out what she wants in a partner before settling down with this 30-year-old who knew her in high school and in weird circumstances, you know? Like, so I hope they don't last.
I want her to go to therapy.
Well, yeah.
The thing is like, if the people, you know, listening haven't seen this movie, we're making it. The problem is that the poison goes down so easily. So, like, you're like, okay, like, it's not that you're not questioning this during the movie. It's just that you're not questioning it as much as you start to after you dissect it, after you've seen it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, off the bat, I was creeped out by the relationship aspect here. But watching it, I was kind of enjoying it. Is it one of my favorite films? No, but it's like, I'm along for the ride. So it's not something where I say, like, don't watch this, or it's like too boring or anything like that. It's a fun ride, but there was a lot of times I was like, oh my god, what is he doing? Like, talking out loud to my TV, like, should he be doing that? But it wasn't like, again, I wasn't visibly offended watching it. It was more like, what's this creep doing?
This movie is the equivalent of realizing hanging out with your teachers in high school wasn't a socially acceptable thing to everybody. Like, it's only until you retroactively process what you saw, you're like, oh, yikes. Like, it starts to become not great. And you're like, shit, this isn't normal. But you don't question it at the time, and that's the problem.
No, no. I kind of want to recommend this movie to people, like, who, you know, are at a party, like, getting drunk and watching things, you know? Like, this is kind of a fun slumber party movie because it's so bizarre. And one of the best parts about it, it's not really well known.
Exactly.
So it actually is cool to watch. And it's honestly a pleasure talking about because there's no struggle here. It's just fun to point out the fucked upness. Like, there is such a value to me in movies like this, especially in, like, the slumber party or watching with your friends as adults, we'll say, realm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, this also jogged the memory, I'm sure, that I claimed Valley Girl in the Hudson 4 as well, because it's one of those movies like Valley Girl where it's got a fairly well-known cast of the leads, but at the same time, it's one of those movies you bust out and, like, 95% of people haven't, like, aren't going to have seen it. And the five that have are going to be like, that movie, yeah!
So maybe this is the Hudson 5 and maybe I missed Valley Girl.
I think you missed Valley Girl because I guarantee you drunk Kate Hudson talks about Valley Girl a lot.
Well, certainly, like,
a lot
of this podcast, that's for sure. I mean, sorry, certainly a favorite of this podcast network, I mean, but yeah.
Valley Girl is honestly, it's excellent. But it's like Hiding Out in the sense that, like, unless you saw this at the time in like 1987 or like in Valley Girl's case, 83, or you caught it on like TBS. Like, I'm sure this movie's on TBS or TNT, like late night back in the day. Like, but it's not a movie that you talk about now. It's not regarded as a classic. And there's no real reason why it shouldn't.
No. This isn't like a hidden gem.
Yeah. Like, it's weird that no one ever talks about Hiding Out, I guess is my point.
But like, again, like, you write for Pajiba. I feel like people who maybe write for Pajiba, or maybe people in my case who read Pajiba, would enjoy a film like this. But I don't know if like every friend of mine is going to, and I say enjoy, just enjoy watching, you know, enjoy weird stuff, I guess is the best way to put it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean?
No, totally. I actually mentioned Hiding Out probably about 8 months ago when I rewatched it, and Pajiba people were like, yeah, I remember Hiding Out. Like, I loved that movie. Annabeth Gish is hot in it. It's like, of course, it's just one of those movies that you talk to, and like, people, if they've seen it, like, they remember it because it's memorable.
Yeah, it definitely fits, like, just like the mold of all that. And you know, it's not like something I regret watching. I had a blast talking about it. Anything else you want to mention in regards to Hiding Out before we get to our weekly questions?
No, other than, you know, we didn't bring up the soundtrack, but I remember it being pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good soundtrack. I didn't write anything specifically in terms of like songs. Apparently they made a song just for this film, Hiding.
It was the song that won the ASCAP award, right? The most played song of the year or something.
What?
Yeah. It's like, if you go on IMDb, it's like one award. You're like, what the? How did this
award?
From ASCAP, the most performed song from a motion picture. The song Catch Me, I'm Falling.
Oh, wow. Okay. So maybe that's it. Yeah. Catch Me, I'm Falling by Pretty Poison.
That's a classic.
Boy George, Live My Life.
They also had like Roy Orbison.
Yeah. I was just going to mention that. So Roy Orbison, Crying. But on the soundtrack, apparently there's 20 seconds of John Cryer and Keith Coogan singing that song as well. What a gem.
That's such a weird movie.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, I got to look into the soundtrack a little bit more. But, I mean, that part was enjoyable. There's some guts here of what could be a classic, but it doesn't really hold up in classical waters, if you will.
Yeah, mainly because of all the things we pointed out.
all the things. So, quiz question for you, Kate. He has three names in this film. Can you name them?
Oh, I can name two. It's Mandrew. It's Andrew Maxwell. Isn't his is it Richard? Is his third name Richard?
It's Eddie Collins. That's what Eddie. He ends up being.
Oh, and then she says, that sounds like a made-up name. Ha! Yeah, okay. She it laughed is. A lot. She had a lot of, like, I thought, like, there was something wrong with her on that date where she just kept laughing.
She was just so happy to be with a 30-year-old John Cryer. Who knows? Maybe, so you know what? Maybe, though, like, a 17-year-old would be happy in that situation. I'm not saying it's a good idea or a good thing, but it just, that should be avoided, though.
Agreed.
All right, so Wooderson Award, character who you would have liked to see more of in this film. Did anyone, like, stick out to you, be like, wow, I wish this person got more lines?
I mean, always Keith Coogan, man.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, he is a big part of this film, but I would have liked to seen him. He's like the number two, right? Like, he's his number two, but you get some sidekicks who you feel like are almost equals, and you definitely don't feel that way here.
No. I was just thinking, how much funnier would it have been if it focused on Keith Coogan and then John Cryer's creepy cousin was just like a side story? Like, the creepy 30-year-old cousin kept popping in while Keith Coogan's trying to get laid. Like, I would watch that movie so much more than I'd watch this movie.
You know, or it could have even been something like Encino Man, like, where it's about Keith Coogan, I mean, not Encino Man, but, you know, it's about Keith Coogan trying to assimilate John Cryer, and we're looking at it through his point of view, not just like the other, you know, not just what we got here. So I think that is a better movie.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it is.
And then you could have it played by someone other than John Cryer. You could actually have it played by, like, an older person, because then it's more funny, like, him trying to hide this older dude out in class, and we don't need his, like, romantic storylines, you know?
Exactly. I just like the idea of a creepy 30-year-old cousin popping in and out occasionally while you're trying to get laid. It sounds like a better movie.
It really does. So that's a good answer, Keith Coogan. All right, Long Duk Dong Award. Whose character's omission would make this film better, whether it be racial insensitivity or just, you know, because they suck?
Oh, I get rid of Annabeth Gish. I get rid of the love interest. It creeps me out.
So, I mean, that's a good way to stop it from happening, eliminating her. I feel bad because, like, she shouldn't have to suffer for it, but you're probably right. It's probably the best way to do it.
Right. Like, she's going to be fine. She's going to make Mystic Pizza next year or the year after.
Yeah, she's going to land on her feet. There's no way that she landed Mystic Pizza because of this film. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, Cameron Frye Award. Anyone too old to be a high schooler? You know, based on looks. Besides, obviously, you know, the whole crux of this film, the whole plot of John Cryer being his, you know, and he wasn't even that old, so whatever.
I think the popular guy, Kevin O'Rourke, looked slightly older. Like, I think they did a really good job casting everybody else. Like, I think they were all really teenagers, so that made Kevin, who was probably, what, in his, like, early to mid-20s, look older because everybody else really was true to their age.
Him dating Ryan is almost creepy looking too, because he looks like a guy who, you know, works at the service station. Not in like an offensive way, but like I could see him like
just like,
you know,
older way. Well, he was, so I'm looking at him, he's born in 1962, which means he would have been like 24, 25 when that movie was filmed. So yeah,
he's what, 9 years older than her, so
yeah.
Yeah, that one I think it's a slam dunk as well. So Rotten Tomatoes, interesting, right? Again, you're a credited Rotten Tomatoes reviewer, so maybe you could change this, but 33% by the critics, so not liked well, but 70% by the audience.
But how many people have
okay,
done that?
Let's see. Like, 2,961 reviews, but only 6 critical reviews. That's interesting.
I mean, it's enjoyable, but if you look at who is typically a Rotten Tomatoes reviewer and also who engages on those rating systems, I'm not surprised. It's usually dudes.
I think a big part of it, too, is that this movie is so obscure that anyone who's watching it just knows about it and has nostalgia feelings. So, you know, they're probably giving it a good review. And also, they're not breaking it down for an hour plus like you and me after. I think when you watch it, you're like, you get a somewhat positive feeling at the end because, it, you know, whatever, it was a good time. I had fun with my friend watching it, you know, like that kind of thing. So I see where that's coming from.
I'll say this. I watched it once probably in 2011. I watched it again no more than like a year ago. And then I watched it again last night and like, watching it once a year, that's too often. Like, why did I want to do this one? But if you watch it like every 10 years or so, it's totally fine. It's enjoyable. You won't have an issue.
No, I definitely agree with that. So what will you rate it on our A to F scale then, Kate?
I have to give it 2. I have to do it like sort of 2 different grades. You know how when we were at school, you'd get 1 for like the effort you put in and then 1 for like your actual achievement. I have to give it, like, honestly, it's a solid B movie as far as enjoyment goes, but it gets a D plus for as far as like just all the shit that was in it, as far as like graded not outside of a bubble. Let's just put it that way, with all the weird racial, sexual, just all that shit. Yeah.
I kind of was on the same boat with you, but I just averaged mine out to a C. So this gets a C for me. I think that might be a high grade for some people, a low grade for other people, apparently, but a solid C. But definitely watch it. You got to watch it because whatever.
The problem is like, because we're talking about this audience, we have to take into like contextualize it, and that gets put in our grades. As if you know the score with 80s movies and you know that they're going to be horrible when it comes to like gender and, you know, racial characters and like just not just focusing everything around like a generic white guy as your protagonist, like, it's, if you understand that genre going into it, you're going to have more than a C of a time, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We want to grade time and that aspect of it, then you're absolutely right. This is a solid B movie. This is a good time. And like I said a million times here, it's something I would definitely watch at a slumber party.
Oh, yeah. It's just does not hold up well. And you need to contextualize it if you watch it with anybody else so they know that you're not a racist asshole.
Yeah, I don't think you'd recommend this film to someone and you're like, oh, this is the greatest film made of all time. I believe in the values of this film.
I wish I could live in this movie. Yeah, no.
No, definitely not. Okay, so kind of a weird question, but what
okay.
sleeping bag would you, what a hiding out themed sleeping bag would you bring to the slumber party?
Oh, that's easy. I would do one that can zip up and lock from the inside so John Cryer couldn't creep into my sleeping
bag. Oh my God, that's terrible. I love it. That's great. I think you're a little too old for him.
Yeah, now I am. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know for this film. It might be like two-toned, like his terrible skunk hair.
Yes. God. If that hair is bad. If he's listening, like, we've kind of shit on him. He did not deserve that hair. Like, whoever did that hair to him, that was a crime.
I hope he's listening. You never know.
The poor man's Matthew Broderick, so I hope he's not.
So I hope he's not listening, man. But that'd be cool. Who knows? Okay, so we are in that last blockbuster ever that's right by your house. We have rented this film for our slumber party. What two other films are we going to rent along with Hiding Out?
I know you're expecting me to say Con Air.
You don't have to.
I was about to say, normally I would get Con Air, but no, what I would actually do is make it a Keith Coogan night and we would get Adventures in Babysitting and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And we'd start out with Hiding Out. So Ooh. Then we'd pivot to the female led movies so that we got a palate cleanser of all the icky shit in that romantic relationship.
Ooh, I love it. That would be a fun night. I mean, and again, if this is in your like slumber party rotation, theoretically, and you're doing a couple movies in a night, it's perfectly, I mean, it's not okay, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's a great addition to a party because you're going to talk about it. You're going to laugh. You're like, oh my God, it's fun to point out the creepiness in this film. It's entertaining.
And it's familiar too. It's familiar. There's nothing that you're not going to automatically know.
Yeah, absolutely.
For better or for worse.
Well, Kate, it's been a pleasure. This was fun to talk about. Thank you for, I guess, showing me that this movie even existed. So appreciate it. I'm glad we can get one of the Hudson Five now down.
Yep. I guarantee you I claimed Valley Girl in drunkenly.
That's
guarantee
totally
you.
Okay. So, you know, we have four more there. We have a bunch of Twilight films. You'll be on soon.
The Again, dream.
You're welcome whenever. We're going to be trying to do a lot of films during this interesting period in our history right now because it helps keep me sane. So I appreciate it. You know, why don't you tell our slumberers once again where they can follow you and read your stuff.
You can come hang out with me and talk Twilight at any given moment over at Pajiba. I'm not sure Dustin, the owner of Pajiba, would be like thrilled with that, but I think it's okay. So, you know. And you can follow me over on Twitter at Hudson Kate. And no one ever talks Twilight to me. But if you like, seriously, come talk Twilight.
I think we'll get them by the end of this. I think we might have scared them with the last episode.
But just drunk. I talk about Twilight probably realistically once every couple of weeks on Pajama and probably once a week on Twitter. So.
The last couple of days, it's been more than once a week. It's been
a lot because I've just been rewatching them during the shutdown because like when the world is falling down around us, a story about a girl who just wants to fuck her vampire boyfriend really is what I need right now.
Perfect, perfect. Well, again, thanks so much, Kate. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Always great having Kate on. That episode was such a blast. It was as fun as it sounded, trust me. And rumor has it, as some friends I know say, this is not the only time you'll hear Kate this month, and we have a nice little interesting surprise for you later on, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. But your homework for next week, guys, is not Kate Hudson related, unfortunately. And when I say next week, remember, it's next Monday. That's the next episode. And it's a fun one as well. Kind of a schlocky film, too. It's called The Substitute, and my guests are the Foodie Films man himself, Kyle Reinfried, and the Monkey Club man himself, Christian Larson. One, two,
what were his exact words?
That if I didn't back off, I'd wish I did.
I can't boot him out without definite proof of wrongdoing.
This guy is dangerous.
Oh, I've never been so happy to see anybody in my whole life.
What's going on?
My students are trying to kill me.
My name's Smith. I'm her substitute. Claude Rollet. I'm the principal.
Oh, good to meet you.
You're not one of our regular subs.
Yo, Freddy Krueger, knock it off. It's not a manicure shop.
I'm in charge of this class.
You ever been shot, Mr. Whatever your name is?
Yeah, I've been shot.
Who is he?
The other day I was talking and I just happened to glance back and the weirdest thing happened.
What?
They were listening.
Wait till he's off school grounds. I don't want to kill him right off.
Life's a chess game, Juan. This is a crucial move. I want you to think it over.
When we're done, I want you to say I'm sorry.
Shh. No talking in the library.
Oh, man. That's going to be another fun one. So remember, guys, next Monday, same place, Cage Club Podcast Network. You want to check us out here. We'll have another Friday one, Monday one, Friday one, Monday one, Friday one. In the time being, as long as we're in this position we're in right now. So, one more thing I wanted to discuss, really. Sad news while I was actually editing this podcast and putting the final touches on. You know, we lost someone to coronavirus who I really, really beloved. Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne. If you want to know what I was listening to senior year of high school, it was Fountains of Wayne. And specifically their album at the time, Welcome Interstate Managers. God, I loved that album. Still do. It's, to me, like the perfect album, especially if you're from, like, the New York, New Jersey area. So many allusions to that. Such great songwriting. And, of course, he was a huge part of that band and just a huge part of music in general. If you like that show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, he, like, wrote all the music for that. He was also a big part of something we talk about a lot on this podcast, the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack. He was, I guess, technically one of the Pussycats because he helped put that great thing together. And you know, if you've listened to this podcast, how much I love that soundtrack and how important it was to me. But, you know, my heart goes out to his family. Oh, God, it's just so awful to hear about that. You know, he was in his early 50s, so it just shows that this virus can get to anyone. It's just really, really, really tough. His lyrics are so important, but for some reason, I keep thinking about this Ben Folds song, another musician I really loved and listened to in high school. Ben Folds wrote this song for Elliott Smith, actually, another musician I listened to a lot in high school, after he passed, and the song is called Late. I think it's on, it might be on Songs for Silverman. Anyway, by the way, listen to all this music I'm talking about right now. Listen to Elliott Smith, listen to Late by Ben Folds, and more importantly, listen to Fountains of Wayne, all of Fountains of Wayne, but especially Welcome Interstate Managers. Anyway, the song Late by Ben Folds, he talks about how he listened to Elliott Smith, and he didn't know him that well, but his passing, like, affected him because his music was with him for so many, like, tough times in his life, and I feel the same way about Fountains of Wayne. That so many, like, tough times in my life, I listened to that, whether it was, you know, to commiserate or sometimes just to lift my spirits up because those guys seemed like they were having so much fun. And to have, like, you know, Adam pass like this, it's just, it's really, really sobering and really, really, really sad, frankly. But the legacy lives on with his music, and I'll still be listening to it. I'm going to listen to it even more today after I finish recording this because, I mean, wow, it's just, thank you. Thank you, Adam, for being there for me, and thank you so much. And like I said, my heart goes out to his family and friends and all the fans as well. You know, hard to leave on that note, but This is what these times call for, I guess. You got your homework for next week. You know everything you have to do. I'll see you Monday, guys. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you'll miss it. I leave you with another song from the Hiding Out soundtrack. Roy Orbison with Katie Lang, Cryin'. Later, dudes.
could smile for a while. Then I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight when you stopped to say hello.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.